Question one, what presentational aspects of video are important in your course? Well, it depends on the subject matter. It needs imagination to think how video may be used to present a topic, but there are various ways it can be used. It can be used to set up a problem as an introduction, to get students to think about things and then provide the teaching around that topic. Or you can maybe find a video that gives an overview of the topic, like the one on climate change in section 8.4.2. Or you might want to show video as a specific example of something you're teaching in the course, or to illustrate a particularly difficult concept. So there are many different presentational aspects of video that should be relevant for whatever you're teaching, but it will depend on your subject matter, what's appropriate and what isn't. And again, I want to emphasize here the importance of deep understanding of the subject matter in order for you to select the most appropriate videos for your courses. It needs some skill and understanding of the subject to see where video can help. Question two, which skills? Again, it depends on the subject area, but as always, you've got a choice of using existing video or making your own. But certainly video can help with the development of communication skills, particularly if students make the videos themselves. A good example is an elevator pitch where students have 2 minutes in order to pitch a concept. It could be in business, or it could be a summary of a topic, and they record that. They can do several attempts, they can edit it and so on, and you could either assess that, or you could just get the rest of the students to give feedback on that video, it's useful for helping with critical thinking. You might give students a documentary type video and ask them to analyze it in terms of of what you've been teaching on the course, applying concepts and principles to a specific video example that you're teaching about. It can be used for teamwork. It's usually if several students get together to make a video, it's often a better video, but also they can learn from each other and learn how to work in a team. And again, you can look at some of the examples in sections 8.4.1 and 8.4.2 to see some of the skills that video can be used to develop. I would point out, though, that it needs imagination on the instructor's part. A deep knowledge of the subject area, plus imagination, plus an understanding of the affordances that are laid out in this chapter in order to create useful and relevant educational video. Question three, getting students to make a video about what they've learned is a great way to demonstrate their knowledge. It needs to be authentic. It needs to be around a task that they've been given, and so it needs to be specific, either to an individual learner or specific to a group of students. It's best done as project work to prevent them just going off and finding something and copying and pasting it. But it's a bit more difficult to do that with video than it is with, say, text. But again, all the things you have to apply to authenticity in other forms of assessment apply equally to video. One good example of use of video for assessment is students recording their teaching practice, for instance. So they can show what they've done, they can critically reflect on what they've done, and they can present the recording and their critical reflection as part of their assessment of their teaching practice. On question four, finding video, I just want to say here that when I did the first edition, what I did, I started with the affordances of video identified at the Open University nearly 30, 40 years ago, and then look for examples of that today that are freely available on the internet. And for the first edition, it wasn't that easy. I could only find examples for about a half of the affordances that were identified at the Open University. But when I started to do the later editions of this book, suddenly I found that there was a lot more examples, and the number of the amount of video is increasing rapidly. Video that's relevant for teaching and learning, it's increasing rapidly. So it was much easier to find examples for the later editions. And there's lots of good stuff now available in nearly all subject areas. As I've said, there's basically two options available to you, finding and applying already made videos or making your own. And I want to say a little bit about making your own. If you are going to do it, if you are going to create your own video, then start simple. A good example is just using a mobile phone to film a process, maybe some lab work or something, and then just put it up on the university server with a little bit of editing, perhaps. But you can usually do it in one. If you can do it in one take, that's probably the best way to do it. But in general, if you are going to do your own video, I suggest, if you can get help, go and look for it. For instance, professional advice is always good, especially in terms of editing. If you can get some help, that cuts it down, and you'll soon learn as well, so you can do it yourself. Some examples, I gave some examples of very simple use of video. For instance, the UBC video on exponential growth, it's not difficult technically to do that. You've just got to have the imagination to get the students to operate in the way that they did to demonstrate exponential growth. So in conclusion, most instructors and teachers so far are not exploiting fully the benefits of video for teaching. There's tremendous potential there, and frankly, video is a key resource for teaching in a digital age.